Thai PBS World Podcast. Media Pulse helps you make sense of Thai politics.
Finally, the Pheutai Party, one of the most dominant forces in Thai politics, will be entering the next general elections under a totally new leadership.
Yes, the opposition Pheutai Party elected their new leader and executive committee yesterday during the General Assembly. And Pathornton Chinawat is now replaced by Chulaphan Amonwiwat.
Khun Chulaphan was among four candidates.
Yes.
Entering the race to lead the party. But Khun Chulaphan received overwhelming support from the majority of the party members.
Yeah, so let's dig into his short bio. Chulaphan Amonwiwat is actually 50 years old, and many observers of Thai politics see him as the bridge that would help close the age gap between seniors and younger members of the Pheutai Party.
He is the son of Somphong Amonwiwat. Once a very prominent politician, and Khun Somphong was once a leader of Pheutai Party, and he also served as a deputy prime minister. But unfortunately, Khun Somphong broke away from Pheutai Party very recently. So the big question is why the father has left and now the son has emerged to take over the leadership of the party. So a big question mark whether the son and the father will eventually be able to reconcile the differences or not.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about Chulaphan. He is a former deputy finance minister and is experienced in economic administration.
He served as a deputy finance minister in both the Set Thai and Pathornton governments. He is a Boston-educated politician, so he's quite well-versed in economic affairs. The party believes that with this image, he will be able to carry the party through the next election.
So, Chulaphan's biggest contender was Jajuan Thai Sang, who was a veteran politician. And his career actually spans decades since the days of the Thairak Thai Party.
So, prior to the election yesterday, there was this dilemma among the party members whether they should choose someone who is senior with a lot of political experience like Khun Chattawut, or someone who is younger and have an appeal or can readily connect with the younger generations of voters. But finally, they decided to settle for the middle path. That is Khun Chulaphan, who is 50 years old, not too young and not too old.
Yeah, Khun Chattawut is actually, 69, so they're 19 years apart. But anyway, by electing Chulaphan, the party might be sending a signal that it is hoping for a more pragmatic approach by combining the wisdom of senior politicians with fresh ideas of the younger generation in the party. But there are still challenges facing the Pheutai, and that is how to restore the party whose reputation and credibility has been damaged severely as a result of the Chinawat family's serious scandals. So we're talking about the former Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat, who is now serving his sentenced in prison for corruption charges, and Pathornton Chinawat was ousted by the Constitutional Court for her disastrous phone conversation with the Cambodian Senate President Hun Sen.
Khun Pathornton, the former Prime Minister, resigned as the party leader just a week earlier, but she vowed to be around to help with the party under the slogan that revamping Pheutai, revamping the country. And she said she will not be going anywhere, despite the fact that she will no longer in charge of the party. But of course, this means that the Chinawat family will somehow still be pulling the strings from behind, right?
Yeah, it sounds like that, isn't it? Because in early October, when she launched the campaign to revamp the party, there was a speech where she said, some people said the Pheutai is at a dead end and is facing extinction. And she said, I never believe so. I guess indeed they're not at a dead end yet, but they do not have much time to recover because the election is coming. It's going to be held in 4 months' time.
Or to 6 months' time.
Yeah, exactly. So they practically have less than 4 months maybe to restore the voters' trust.
Yeah, right. So they're now pinning their hope on Khun Chulaphan and his team to help reverse the party's fortunes. But whether or not they can do it is a big question mark.
Yeah, exactly. Because the Pheu Thai Party didn't have a good record on handling economic issue well. Because like, if you look at the poll, there was a Suwanthosit poll earlier this month that ranked Phum Chai Thai at number one in terms of its potential to deliver economic results, and Pheu Thai ranked fourth.
Because previously the party had the reputation of being very good at the economic management. But 2 years in power under Setha government and then Pattathan government, the party has proven that it has failed in almost every aspect of the economic management. All the major campaign promises have not been kept. So, of course, Khun Pattathan has had to bear the brunt of the blame because he was prime minister.
Yeah, exactly. And on top of that, we had the issue of handling the conflicts with our neighboring countries, which they didn't do well either.
Even though the main reason that Pattathan cited in the resignation letter was to clear the way for the party to choose a new batch of leaders to run the party. But the big question is not only the internal problems that the party is facing. I think it's the party's popularity at large is also a big question mark.
Also, you know, in that resignation letter, what was not written down was also interesting. Because we have this quote from Sorong Tien Tong, the Pheu Thai Party Secretary General. He sort of indicates that the party had to fix one of its biggest weaknesses. And that's why Pattathan had to resign. He said, Pattathan was ousted by the Constitutional Court on grounds of ethical misconduct. And this is to prevent that issue from becoming a political tool that threatens our MPs and our candidates to migrate to other parties. So this is to save the party, he said.
Okay. And the election of the new leadership comes amid the continuing exodus of many MPs who are now looking for a greener pasture. So that means that a large number of MPs or ex-MPs of Pheu Thai Party are now looking for a safer place to run in the next general elections. So many of them will go to parties that are Pheu Thai's rivals.
Yeah.
And so one of the first jobs of the new leader of the party, Khun Chulapan, is to stop this bleeding.
Exactly. What's the deal with Suthin Klangsang though? Because last week he had to come out and deny the rumors that he's moving somewhere else.
Khun Suthin Klangsang, the former defense minister and the senior figure of Pheu Thai Party, was also supposed to be one of the candidates to lead the party. But of course, he was passed over later. There was a rumor that he was even on the verge of quitting the party to set up a new party.
Yes.
He came out, not long after that, to deny the rumor, but people sourced in the party told Happy Bears that in fact, that was really his intention.
It's lingering at the back of his mind, but the decision is not out yet. I guess he's still deciding.
You know, the choice of Khun Chulapan to lead the party, given the Pheu Thai Party some kind of reasoning to dispute people's expectation that the party would never get out of the shadow of the Chinnaphat family, right? Under surface, it may look like that because Khun Chulapan doesn't have any direct connection with the Chinnaphat family. But make no mistake, Khun Chulapan can be seen as a de facto extension of the family because of the fact that Khun Chulapan owes his political fortune to support given to him by Khun Jawaphat Wongsawat, who is the younger sister of Thaksin Shinawatra, the former prime minister, now who is behind bar, but still pulling the strings from behind in the party. So that means that Khun Chulapan will be under the influence of the Chinnaphat family one way or another. So there's no escape from the influence of the Chinnaphat family.
So we've covered the Pheu Thai Party this week. Let's move to the Senate, because there's a big drama this week.
Does calling someone a pork vendor, is someone who sells pork in a market,
okay,
right? Does calling someone a pork vendor constitute a gross violation of ethics? You may not think so,
Yeah.
But the majority of the members of the Senate believe it does.
Oh, okay. So we're talking about the Senate early this week. They'd have one of their members penalized for calling someone, a fellow senator, a pork vendor. And the senator in question, Nantana Nantawaropad, will now be investigated by the Anti-Corruption Committee, which will decide whether any legal action should be taken against her if the commission finds that there are grounds to be charged. The case would be forwarded to Supreme Court, which would rule whether she should be disqualified as a senator. So that's serious.
Now, on the surface, the case may appear to be just a personal vendetta by those unhappy with her outspokenness. We all know that Kun Nantana is a very outspoken senator on various issues. But political observers believe that the whole incident sets a very troubling precedent for the Senate's role in more consequential matters lying ahead, including the ongoing attempts to amend the Constitution. So, who is Senator Nantana? And why her pork vendor slur has created such a fuss?
Okay, here we go. Kun Nantana is a well-known academic, and she specializes in political communication. And she has been openly and consistently critical of senators with links to a certain political party. She's one of the prime movers behind the petition that promoted the Department of Special Investigation to launch a probe into alleged collusion in the Senate election last year.
So what did she exactly say that landed her in hot waters? So last September, Kun Nantana was dropped from the list of senators appointed to the Senate Committee on Political Development, Human Rights and Civil Liberty, which is a very important standing committee of the Senate. And with her experience and track record, Nantana believed that she was more than qualified to sit in the committee. But in the end, she was disappointed.
Yeah, she was passed over by another senator, Kun Deng Gongma, from the northeastern province of Arunachal, whose specialty is in pork vending business.
And she's really and practically and professionally a pork vendor.
Yeah, exactly. So, by the way, we need to remind you that the process of Senate election last year was cynically described as one of the world's most complicated and was rife with charges of collusion. I mean, candidates were required to register to run in various categories of professions. Nantana, for example, ran in the category of mass media, while Kun Deng Gongma ran in an open category, describing herself as a pork vendor. So yeah, it was her profession. And the election process promoted widespread allegation that a major political party served as paymaster for numerous candidates and orchestrated a scheme to secure victories for its favorites.
And now back on Senator Nantana and her failed bid to sit in the Senate Committee on Political Development. Nantana believed that there was a conspiracy among some of the senators to deny her a seat in the committee. And this is what she said. "I have been working on political communication and political development all my life, but I was voted out of the Senate committee only to be replaced by a pork vendor instead."
Yeah.
This is what she said that landed her in hot waters.
Yeah, Deng Gongma immediately took issue with Nantana, and she said that she felt bullied by her pork vendor slur. She later filed a defamation charge against Nantana, but while the courts has yet to rule on the case, a group of senators wasted no time in capitalizing on the incident by demanding an investigation against Nantana, accusing her of a gross violation of ethics.
No, the probe against Nantana was subsequently conducted by the Senate's Ethics Committee, chaired by Deputy Senate Speaker General Bien Kai Si Sa, a former regional army commander and one of the senators facing collusion charge in last year. This was pointed out as a conflict of interest. He was being among those accused of collusion in the Senate election
and yet he headed the committee that probed charges against Khun Nantana. And after 5 hours of debate on Tuesday, the majority of the senators decided in a vote that calling a fellow senator a pork vendor did constitute a gross violation of ethics.
And this is what the official wording of the charges against Nantana says. The accused conduct demonstrates bias, harbors a negative attitude toward a certain profession, insults human dignity, offends personal freedom, and denigrates a fellow senator. So these are very serious accusations.
And what will happen next? Next, the Anti-Corruption Commission will evaluate the charges against Nantana to decide whether they are valid enough to refer them to the Supreme Court. And if the court eventually finds her guilty, Nantana faces the possibility of being disqualified as senator and banned from politics for life. But of course, Nantana being who she is not taking the whole thing sitting down, right?
No. She immediately branded the Senate's resolution against her as a shameful decision. And with tears brimming in her eyes, Nantana insisted that she had no intention of insulting or bullying the senator she referred to as a poor offender. And she said she only meant to explain that senators should be assigned to different committees based on their background and experience.
And Nantana claimed that the action taken against her was meant to silence critics of the Senate, especially members of the Senate being probed over the collusion charge. However, Nantana vowed not to stop performing her duty as senator, despite the setback.
Political observers and many media commentators have come out to defend Nantana, actually. Some criticize the senators who voted against her for claiming the moral high ground in her case while overlooking more serious ethical breaches among their peers. They also argue that the Senate's action reinforces suspicions that many senators are acting at the behest of a particular political party.
So they see the incident as a flexing of political muscles by senators and the political party allegedly behind them. Constitutionally, the Senate exercises an oversight of the executive branch through queries and general debates. It is also responsible for scrutinizing legislation passed by the lower house and for endorsing appointments to independent bodies. But what will be closely watched is how the Senate handles the proposed constitutional amendment now being debated in the House of Representatives. And for it to pass, the constitutional amendment, it requires support from at least one-third of the senators. And this is where the challenge is. And this is where the senators' real power and that of the political party allegedly behind many of the senators will be on display.
Yeah, after all, it's no secret that the political party with alleged ties to those senators under investigation has been rather lukewarm in supporting the move to have the constitution amended. And we all know who they are. But anyway, so that's the whole development in the Senate this week. And we have another politician to talk about, because he has been around for a very long time. His career spans decades, but he has made a comeback.
Yes, as expected, former Prime Minister Abhisit Vejjachiva is now back at the helm of the country's oldest political party, the Democrat Party. He was elected unopposed to lead the party once again 2 weeks ago. But the big question is whether or not he and his new team will be able to revive the party's old glory.
Yeah, of course, Abhisit has big dreams. He hopes to transform the party into a credible alternative in the next general elections. As we all know, the party performed rather badly in the last general election in 2023, clinching only 25 MP seats, mostly from its constituencies in the south. The party was wiped out from Bangkok, once its political stronghold. While Abhisit has a sizable following, he definitely knows that he is facing a formidable challenge in making the Democrat Party a visible force again. The new leadership under Abhisit, comprising many people he handpicked, might have given the Democrat Party a fresh image. The political observers doubt whether it will be able to reverse the party's decline.
No, political observers believe that most of the former supporters of the Democrat Party, meaning the people who used to vote for the parties but who turned away from the party in the last elections, are unlikely to come back. The People's Party, which is not the largest opposition party, made an almost clean sweep of Bangkok in the last election.
Yeah.
And is most likely to continue to maintain its grip on the city's constituencies in the next election. And that means that to do better in the next election, a party, the Democrat Party, needs to attract enough election candidates with strong appeal and to come up with a credible platform to woo back disappointed supporters and appeal to younger voters.
Abhisit, who served as Prime Minister between 2008 to 2010, has been careful in playing down expectations that he could single-handedly reverse the party's fortune. I mean, speaking at a forum in Jakarta, Indonesia last week, Abhisit reiterated that politics and leadership must focus on serving the people's real needs rather than pursuing power for its own sake. He stressed the importance of accountability, transparency, and principle-based leadership, especially in public office.
And in his speech at the Jakarta Forum, Abhisit emphasized the need for both a clear vision, where a leader wants to go, and concrete mechanisms, how to get there. Leaders, he said, must manage both the dream and the delivery. He cited his People's Agenda program, which he upholds as a major platform of the Democrat Party as an example, which he said is aimed at putting people first through social welfare and infrastructure policies during his premiership.
Yeah, and on his role as the Democrat Party's new leader, Abhisit said that his goal is to rebuild the party by bringing in young, energetic members who can help modernize Thailand's oldest political party and make it relevant to future generations. One may be tempted to ask that after more than three decades being a politician, how does he see Thai politics, which we all know is very complicated? And this was his answer. Think of Thai politics as a new technology, a new gadget. You don't need to understand it. You just need to know how to use it.
I think we need to remind our audience that Khun Abhisit is one of a very few former Thai leaders who make frequent appearances on regional and international stages. He's widely recognized for his command of international affairs and his adept communication. And he is also known for his biting sense of humor. When he was recently asked about the effect of MPs, politicians of Democrat Party switching camps, he said, "I watch English football, and let me warn you, some of the most expensive strikers, once they move clubs, they can't even score a single goal."
So what he meant was that some political parties might pay hefty fees for politicians to run under their banner, only to see them lose in elections.
And there is this interesting foreign reaction to Abhisit's back at the helm of the Democrat Party. Now, outside Thailand, Cambodia is probably the only country that has been watching the change of guard at the party. Observers in Phnom Penh, the capital of Cambodia, reportedly see Abhisit's return as a not-so-positive sign for the long-term relationship between the two countries, whose leaders, Anutin Chanwilakun and Khun Hunmanet, just signed a peace accord in KL, right? Following months of border disputes. And according to the Khmer Times of Cambodia, there are fears among Cambodian observers that if Abhisit is restored to power again, meaning coming back as the top executive of the country, it could reignite tensions along the sensitive Thai-Cambodian border.
Yeah, Pa Charun, president of the Cambodian Institute for Democracy, told Khmer Times that Abhisit's return as Democrat leader could be an early warning sign for Cambodia to brace for the same foreign policy approach he adopted during his previous premiership. And Charun recalled that during Apisit's leadership, Cambodia and Thailand were engaged in border skirmishes in 2008 and 2011. And this is what he said. This is the quote from the Khmer Times. He said, "If he comes back in this situation, I can envision that his presence will escalate the current border conflict and make it even more difficult to manage."
The border clashes he was talking about resulted from the disputes over the area surrounding the Plavihia Temple. The disputes were triggered by Cambodia's efforts to register the temple as a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The International Court of Justice eventually affirmed Cambodia's sovereignty over the temple, but tensions persisted in the surrounding area of the temple. And Charun, the Cambodian academician, cautioned that disputes between the two countries could persist or even worsen if Thailand's leadership, maybe he was biting his finger at Apisit, if Thailand's leadership stokes nationalist sentiment over border issues to bolster domestic popularity.
And this is what he said. "The conflict will continue for as long as political leaders treat it as a tool for winning support, and it could even become worse."
And we have another Cambodian expert.
Yeah, Paul Mengdavid, right?
Could chip in with his comments about Apisit, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, Paul Mengdavid, a geopolitical analyst and lecturer at the Institute for International Studies and Public Policy, said Apisit's decision to return to politics and contest next year's prime ministerial election suggests a possible revival of tensions in Cambodia-Thailand relations.
And this is what he said. "Should Apisit's party, meaning the Democrat Party, secures victory in the upcoming election, both Thailand and Cambodia would need to prioritize rebuilding mutual trust through renewed engagement, enhanced border and security cooperation, and strengthen people-to-people connection." So this is a good comment, positive comment.
It is positive,
With some kind of anticipation that the two countries finally need to sit down and sort out their differences. Yeah. Even with Apisit back in charge, if that's the case.
If that's the case, yeah. But do you think, given the fact that Anutin and Hun Manet signed a document, I would say, because both sides call it differently.
That's right.
One side called it an agreement.
Right.
The other side is calling it...
The Thai side, especially the foreign minister, Khun Siyasat Phongkit Kiao, declined to describe it as a peace accord, yeah, right? Yeah. He said, "I would call it..." It's what he said. He said, "I would rather call it a pathway toward peace." So that means a long road ahead.
Yeah. So there's a long road ahead anyway, but at least there is a document signed between the two leaders, and Donald Trump must be very happy.
And the good news and very positive news is that both Thai and Cambodian armed forces have started withdrawing troops and heavy weapons from border areas. So that in a way should help reduce or de-escalate the tensions.
Yeah. So
the two countries.
So with the general election coming up, I think the relations between our neighbors would be an important issue as well. Oh. So it remains to be seen what other parties are saying about this issue, how they're going to handle it.
And I believe that the Cambodian expert should not have overreacted, toward the tax Khun Apisit's return to power.
Yeah, because he still has to contest in an election.
That's right. Still a long way to go.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, I think we've covered pretty much everything that happened in Thai politics this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to help you understand what's going on in Thailand. For more news about Thailand and the region, visit thaipbsworld.com and look for Thai PBS World on social media.